You know, people in our life that we look up to and admire usually starts very young with our sons and daughters. We may remember way back when we were that age how we enjoyed listening to our favorite music and admired and idolized the singers who sang those songs and how excited we would be to meet them if we could. You know, for kids, they might also admire athletes. Even as adults, we might do that. Or it could be actors and actresses, all kinds of things. For seminarians, it's usually church leaders. I remember when I was young, I was no different, especially when I was in high school. One of the popular things to do, or most exciting things to do in the 80s, because we were so into music at that time, was to go to a rock concert. And of course, growing up in the Twin Cities, all these bands or singers from all over the country would certainly make a stop at the XL Center or the Target Center, and the place would be sold out. And so it was a very exciting thing once you buy your tickets and you could brag to your friends in high school that you were going, and then you would continually look forward to that day. Have a great time the evening of the concert. And I remember one concert I went to of a band that was coming through the cities way back in the mid-80s. And it was a great experience and a fun time. And afterwards, we knew that the down part of the whole experience would be that you'd have to wait in the parking lot or the parking ramp for 45 minutes for all the people to get out and make their way back home. And so after the concert, my friends and I went down, we piled into our car, and we began that waiting period. And one of my friends spoke up, and he said, "You know what? I'm not going to sit here and wait for 45 minutes. I really like this band. I'm going to go in, and I'm going to meet him, and I'm going to get his autograph." And we all laughed, thought he was joking, but he proceeded to get out of the car. He said, "Don't worry. I'll be back in a half an hour. I'll find you guys." And so we said, "Okay, well, if you get arrested, we're not waiting." He had no backstage pass, no security, no nothing. And so we were waiting in line to get out. Sure enough, after about a half an hour, he comes back and he finds us still waiting to get out of the parking area. And he's very excited. And he gets in the car and he says, "Look what I have." And he takes out a piece of paper signed by John Bon Jovi. Now, still singing today, in fact, still releasing albums. But it was amazing. We were absolutely floored that he got this. And so, of course, we had to hear the story. Well, you have to know my old friend is very crafty. And so he was sneaking into corridors and hiding behind equipment and seats and posing as a road crew person and convincing everyone that he belonged there. Eventually, he made his way into the bleacher stands and was hiding behind the seats there. And sure enough, John Bon Jovi came out and was talking to his road crew after everyone was long gone. And so he stands up and starts shouting and screaming his name. And John Bon Jovi, I think, was impressed with his initiative and having to weed through all the security and make that happen. And so he waved him down, just like Zacchaeus coming out of the sycamore tree today, you know, waved him down. And so he came down, he got to visit with him for a couple minutes, and then he signed his autograph and then made his way back to us. And of course, we were a little bit jealous and amazed that he could pull this off. The people of Jesus' time were just as amazed that Zacchaeus, who was very short and with these massive crowds, could weave his way in there and figure out how he was going to meet Jesus. Amazing. And so what he does, as the gospel says, is he climbs this sycamore tree and waits till Jesus passes by. And of course, Jesus knows what's in Zacchaeus' heart, that he really wants to meet him, that Zacchaeus is ready for this big conversion moment. And because he desires to meet Jesus so bad, he's also shown that it's important to him by this sign of faith. This action of going way ahead and climbing the tree is a sign of faith and hope. Jesus, being God, foresees that, and so he knows what he's going to do. And when he passes that tree, he calls Zacchaeus down and says, "Come." And so he tells Zacchaeus that I'm going to be staying at your house today. And so Zacchaeus, floored with that, is very excited. And he says, Lord, I'm already in the process of repenting. If I've stolen from anyone, I'm going to pay them back four times as much. And so Jesus rejoices and points out to the crowd that salvation has come to this house today. And this would have floored the crowd because they looked at Zacchaeus as a great sinner. Not only was he a tax collector, he was the chief of the tax collectors. And tax collectors were notorious for being cheats. They would collect your taxes, but they'd charge you a little bit extra, which they weren't supposed to do, so they could pad their piggy banks at home, so to speak. And so they lived very wealthy lives because of the people that they were stealing from, in a sense. But Zacchaeus recognizes his fault, repents for it, and says he wants to do things differently. He wants to do things the right way. And so Jesus calls him, and instead of an autograph like my friend got from the person he admired, he is given instead the chance of a relationship with Jesus, the chance of salvation. And we've been given that chance also by our baptisms in Christ and by our confirmations. Those sacraments have initiated us, along with the Eucharist, into the fullness of God's fold as his sheep. And of course, we keep that salvation promise alive in our hearts and that relationship with the Lord through our daily prayer and by coming to Mass like we are doing today. So Jesus does not hate Zacchaeus, nor does he despise any sinner, for he says in the Book of Wisdom today, for you love all things that are hated, and nothing that you have made. For what you have hated, you would never have fashioned. And so what that really means is that if we exist, if God has created us, then God loves us because he creates nothing that he hates. And so those are very powerful words indeed for us to remember today. God does not love our sins, but he does love us, his children, and he will go out of his way to get our attention. And so for us, it's important to remember, I think, two things today, that God loves us even when we feel unlovable because of our sins, and God loves even those that we struggle with in our lives. And so how should we feel about ourselves today, knowing that God loves us despite our sins? Can we forgive ourselves as God would have us do after we repent? Can we love ourselves and, like Zacchaeus, promise the Lord that we will try and live better lives as Christians? Also, how should we feel about those that we dislike, knowing that God loves them also? We should not, of course, condemn them, lest we be condemned, but we must pray for them instead, that they will come to know God, like Zacchaeus did, like we do, and that God will act in their lives in a special way. Today, Zacchaeus, longing to see Jesus, his longing is, of course, rewarded. And so we pray that we may also long to have a deeper relationship with the Lord in our lives, that it may continue to grow and bear fruit, for the Lord is always knocking at the door of our hearts. And so when we hear that knock, like Zacchaeus did, let us open that door, continue to open it as we do, and let him enter through our experience of the sacraments and through our daily prayers.